Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Hand.
Good morning.
You're looking at the conventional wisdom about rehabilitation, yeah?
And something that's not so conventional.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know that one of the tenets of 12-step programs is that alcoholics and addicts are in their disease. You hear that word a lot. To deal with it, those who ascribe to and follow the steps rely on each other and a higher power as they understand it. But a competing treatment philosophy looks at addiction differently. Founded in 1971, the Kaneohe nonprofit Habilitat veers away from a spiritual basis and says addiction is a matter of choice. Jay Dodson is the admissions coordinator. He's also a recovering addict and a graduate of the program. He's sitting in our studio with me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
You've had a long history with Habilitat on sort of both sides of the fence, as a young man and an addict, and then again someone who recovered and then relapsed years later and then came back to the program and had to start from square one. And now you're its admissions director. In all of that, as you've seen now, you know, 30, 40 years worth of people who have come through, how do you draw those distinctions between what we hear and the conventional wisdom, people are in their disease, as opposed to this is a matter of choice?
I think that a glaring example of some of the deficiencies of the short-term programs that usually subscribe to the disease concept, I would venture to say that 80% of the kids in the program now have been through multiple short-term programs with no success.
Who have been through, or who are at your program now, have been through others with no success.
Right.
And in part, why? Because 28 days or 30 days seems to be just too short?
Yeah, I'm afraid that the saying sort of is that it creates short-term sobriety and multiple relapses. It's sort of an accepted part of the modality of, you know, a program that runs 28 days, that perhaps that length of time, let's be honest, was designed by what the insurance companies will pay and not necessarily on this is the amount of time that we need to work with somebody to get them to, you know, understand about themselves and the reasons that they did the things they did.
Very often, though, the rehab centers will say that directly. This is what insurance will pay for, and say that, you know, the money has to come from somewhere to keep their doors open. Mm-hmm. You've managed to do something a little differently because you're a nonprofit and you have income streams that you saw created during the last 30, 40 years to be able to create a self-sustaining situation. But beyond that difference, when you talk about choice, you're really sometimes talking about people who come into their teens with not a lot of self-worth, with not a lot of understanding of who they are, who have been through some pretty terrible circumstances that didn't let them even find out any of those things. How do you start to treat someone in that place and say, you know, you made some bad choices?
I think that, you know, we start from the very beginning. In other words, there's no amount of money. You can't buy your way into our program. You can't be incarcerated and have us appear for you in court and ask the judge to allow you to, you know, come to Habilitat, to our program, without, you know, extensive screening. And what we're really looking for is a basic, strong desire to want to change your life. And so I think that's a big difference, you know, that it's not that easy. We're known to be the toughest program. I think one of the local judges called us the gold standard, that, you know, sometimes they would someone that's incarcerated or something that might have the opportunity to enter into rehabilitation as opposed to a prison sentence. They want to choose us last in some respect, you know, if they're not really ready. So, you know, we sort of demand that somebody really have that desire to want to change prior to even allowing them into the program. So we get that starting point from them, not from what we say.
And Jay Dodson, what does that look like when you say they have to be really ready in a starting point? What does that sound like? What do you listen for?
Just that they recognize, you know, that all the mistake, that they take responsibility completely for everything that's done, whether they're coming from a prison system or whether they're coming from the street, regardless of the drug that they use, whether it was methamphetamines or opiates, all the things that are big out there now. That's the main thing that we want them to understand is that, you know, these are issues that you created, and these are this is the pain that you left behind. You know, your mother's tears, everything. We want them to understand, you know, whether they're if they have children, you know, that you probably took food out of your children's mouth, you know, to ingest, to purchase drugs, you know, all of these what we consider to be very selfish acts, which is common with somebody that is just missing that level of self-worth that you spoke about.
Addicts are known to being pretty selfish and
it's
doing
a selfish
what they
sport.
Need to do to get whatever it is they need to get. Hawaii Public Radio's news department just finished a podcast in conjunction with Civil Beat about Hawaii's new ice age, about meth. As you just said a moment ago, it doesn't matter what the drug is. Does that mean that you treat all drug addiction the same and that it's not something that when we talk about meth and the proliferation of meth in Hawaii, that's not something that you address specifically because to you all the drugs are just simply
whatever the
embodiment of addiction is?
It's just the sniffle of the cold. I mean, it really is not relevant what particular drug that they abuse, with the exception of we became aware early on with the ice Batu epidemic, you know, here in Hawaii, that they come to us quite damaged very quickly. You know, you would think that the perhaps heroin addiction or something like that would be so physically destructive. I mean, by far, I think the methamphetamine addicts go downhill so quickly. Within a matter of a couple of years, I mean, you barely recognize them. They look like they've aged 30 years, and it's sad, but it's repairable as well.
In the repair that you have seen in all the time that you've been with Habilitat, both with yourself on several occasions now and other people who have come through it, what's your success rate?
You know, I read recently in one of our current brochures that it was 64%. And that's actually a quite high success rate, but it doesn't sound like it. If it's not in the 90s or something, somebody's going to say 64%.
Well, usually when people hear from Alcoholics Anonymous, it's at 5%. And yet that represents thousands and millions of people worldwide, that's a lot of people.
But I think it's also based, I think that figure is also based on people that complete the program. Whereas, you know, and we're a long-term program, so you'll have people that won't complete the program, and we don't count them in our success rate.
So but, they have to go through the whole 11 months?
I'm sorry?
They have to go through the entire 11 months for you to count them.
Actually, it's 24 to 28 months The 11 months I was speaking of was my return many years ago. But it's a 2 to 2.5 year program. I believe I entered the program in February of 1975 and graduated September of 1977. So I think
you better
it was about
be prepared
30
for
months.
A long-term commitment is what you're saying coming
and,
into.
And we stress that, you know, to anybody coming into the program that this is what's required. I mean,
and that too is a choice. Jay Dobson, thank you so much for coming in. Good to talk to you.
Nice talking with you.
Jay Dobson is the admissions coordinator for Habilitat. He's also a recovering addict and graduate of the Habilitat program and has worked there for over 14 years.